Welcome to Torti Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Chet, Chapter 38. Perek 37 ends with Yirmiyahu imprisoned in the Chatzar Matara, the imprisonment on the palace grounds, watching in frustration as Tzidkiyahu makes one bad decision after another, which he knows is going to lead to the destruction of his beloved city and the Beit HaMikdash. In this Perek, we begin with Yirmiyahu imprisoned in the Chatzar Matara, where he was put so that his prophecy would not be spread amongst the people. Except there's a problem. I'm reading from verse 1. Vishma Shvatya ben Matan Ugdalyal ben Pashchor V'yuchal ben Shalmiya v'Pashchor ben Melkiya et advarim asher Yirmiyahu diber el kol ha'am lemor. This group of Tzidkiyahu's officers hears Yirmiyahu's prophecy that he's giving to the people, and this is what he says. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Ko amar Hashem, Hayoshev ba'ir hazot yamut b'cherev, b'rav u'b'daver, v'hayotze el ha'kazdim v'chaya, v'aytalo nafsho l'shalal v'chay. Whoever stays in this city will die at the sword, or in the famine, or in the pestilence that will come with the siege, but whoever gives themselves over to the Chaldeans, to the Babylonians, they will live, and their own soul will be the spoils of war. Meaning, they're not going to make out as a victor, but they will live. Now, this is a problem. The reason why Yirmiyahu is put into the Chatzar Matara is that he would not spread his prophecy to the nation. And here we see that his prophecy is getting around. Now this is a real problem for Tzidkiyahu's officers. Listen to what Yirmiyahu is telling them. Whoever stays in this city will die, but whoever turns themselves over to the Babylonians will live. Yirmiyahu is not only committing treason himself by undermining the war effort, he's asking everyone else to do the same. From Yirmiyahu's perspective, we've seen this before, he doesn't trust Tzidkiyahu. And therefore, it's really unfair that all the people in the city should die just because they have a weak king, Tzidkiyahu, who won't get up the courage to listen to Yirmiyahu. The people in the city should have the chance to live also. Now, the problem is that they put Yirmiyahu in the Chatzar Matara so that he wouldn't spread his prophecy. And here, what we're seeing is that he is spreading his prophecy. So, in the last perek, Tzidkiyahu was in a bind. He needed to figure out what to do with Yirmiyahu. He didn't want him to keep spreading the prophecy, but he didn't want to send him back to Beit Yehonatan HaSofer, that was the jail that he was in, because he didn't want him to die. So he came up with a solution. Let's put him in the Chatzar Matara. We'll keep an eye on him. But now, the solution isn't working. Yirmiyahu is spreading this very, in their minds, destructive prophecy. He's undermining the war. So they come up with a solution, the officers. They come to Tzidkiyahu, and they say to him in verse 4, Vayomer ha-sarim el ha-melech, yumat na et ha-ish hazeh. You need to kill this person. Ki alkin hu mirapei et yedei amshei ha-melchama nisharim ba'ir hazot. He's weakening the hands of the soldiers. Vet yedei kol ha-am, and the people, ledaber leim kitvarim ha-ele, when he says these kinds of things to the people. This person is against us. He's not looking out for what's good for us. He's looking out for what's bad for us. And the only way we can stop him is to kill him. Don't tell us that you can just put him in some imprisonment and that will stop him, because clearly it's not working. He's spreading his message to the people. Now this puts Tzidkiyahu in a very hard position. He can't stay in this in-between place where he doesn't want to kill Yirmiyahu, but he doesn't want him to spread his nevuah either. He believes that he's a Navi Emet, but yet he won't take his nevuah. Tzidkiyahu likes to stay in between, likes to stay in the gray areas. He likes to not make decisions. He can't do that now. His officers, his inner circle, are asking for Yirmiyahu to die. They're asking Tzidkiyahu to make a choice. Whose side are you on? Are you really in favor of this war? And if so, you have to kill the traitor, Yirmiyahu. Tzidkiyahu responds in verse 5, Vayomer ha-melech Tzidkiyahu, Hinei hu b'yadchem, ki ein ha-melech yuchal etchem davar. Behold, here he is in your hands, because the king cannot do anything about it. Now, let's unpack that answer of Tsidkiyo. Here he is in your hands. The king cannot do anything about it. This might be the ultimate weak answer. Remember, Tsidkiyo has to take a side, but he doesn't. He says, you are in charge. I am not in charge. And listen how ironic it is that he refers to himself in this passage as Hamelech, the king. The king can't do anything about it. What do you mean the king can't do anything about it? You're the king. Tell the officers, no, I won't kill Yirmiyahu. Tell the officers, I believe his prophecy. I'm stopping the war. That's not what Tsidkiyahu does. But yet he doesn't want to be responsible for Yirmiyahu's death. So he says, I have no power. He's in your hands. You have the power. Do what you want of him, knowing full well that they just said they were going to kill him. And Tsidkiyahu is giving them permission to do that. They are asking him for permission. But he doesn't want the responsibility that comes along with being a king, that comes along with making the hard decisions. And yet, he calls himself the king. And they do what they said they would do. They told Tsidkiyahu they would kill him, and that's what they set out to do in verse 6. They pick him up. There was a deep pit in the courtyard of the king, a pit that maybe was used for a very, very terrible type of jail. And that's where a jail that leads to death, it was really an execution. And they tie Yirmiyahu up with ropes and they lower him into the pit. And now the pasuk is going to describe the pit. Ubabor ein mayim. There's no water in the pit. They weren't going to drown him, but ki imtik, but there is some type of a cementy mud. Vait ba Yirmiyahu batit. And he kind of, it's almost like quicksand. He sinks into this mud. And he's going to die there. This is finally going to be his end. Now listen how Yirmiyahu describes a pit. He says, Ubabor ein mayim. There's no water in the pit. We know that phrase. We know it from the story of Yosef, who was thrown into the pit. Yirmiyahu, in describing the way that these officers beat him up and threw him in a pit, is alluding to himself as Yosef, is calling himself a Yosef figure. Why? Well, we already know that Yirmiyahu empathizes with the Yosef story. He chose Rachel, Yosef's mother, if you remember back in Parak 31, as the image of hope for the redemption, both of Malchut Yisrael and of Yudah. He sees Yosef, even the progenitor of the 10 tribes, as the figure of redemption. And in a sense, now that Yirmiyahu is being thrown into a pit, he's telling us, the reader, I am Yosef. I am the Yosef figure, hated by my brothers, hated by the people around me, because of my dreams, because of my visions, because I see beyond what society sees. I see a different world, and they hate me for it. They hate me for the world that I see. But also Yirmiyahu is telling us, I will be proven right. Yosef came out on top, and Yirmiyahu is telling us, by alluding to the Yosef story, I will also come out on top. We see here almost the despair of Yosef, but also the hope. Yirmiyahu now is once again on death's door. We know he'll be saved. We know the end of the story, but we know it's not going to be Tzidkiyahu this time. And it's also not going to be people like Achikam ben Shafan, who saved Yirmiyahu in Parak 26, or Gemaryahu ben Shafan, who stood up for Yirmiyahu in Parak 36. Those were Tzidkiyahu's officers who were on Yirmiyahu's side, but they don't have the power to override the inner circle. The savior now comes in a very unlikely form. One of Tzidkiyahu's servants, who's a Cushi, he's Ethiopian. He is clearly not in the inner circle, and he only hears what happened afterwards. He approaches Tzidkiyahu in verse 9, and he says, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Hareyu HaAnashim HaElet. These people are evil. At Kol Asher Asu Li Yirmiyahu HaNavi Asher Shlichu Oto Al Shlichu Al Abor, that they threw him in the pit. Vayamot Tachtav. He's going to die, Mipnei Ra'av, because he's going to die. There's a famine. Ki'ein Lechem Ot Ba'ir. No one's going to feed him there in the pit. Do you realize, Tzidkiyahu, that you're killing Yirmiyahu? The only one in this story who has moral clarity is the Cushi servant. This is a condemnation of Tzidkio the king and the Jewish officers and the whole society that gets so swept up in their idealism that they are willing to murder because of it. They're willing to murder a person like Yirmiyahu, who is a very important figure in their history. Yirmiyahu was the Navi of Tzidkio's father, Yoshio. Yirmiyahu was, despite all of the people that were against him, Yirmiyahu was a religious figure. And Tzidkio is not his brother, Yehoyakim. He doesn't just go around murdering prophets. In the last few prakim, he had asked Yirmiyahu to pray on his behalf. And it takes a servant to point out to them that they are becoming evil. To his credit, Tzidkio reverses his policy. He says to Evan Melech HaKushi, take Yirmiyahu out of the pit before he dies. Hashem's promise to Yirmiyahu is once again fulfilled. V'nilchamu elecha, Hashem said to Yirmiyahu in Parak Aleph in chapter 1, they will fight against you, v'lo yachlu lach, but they will not prevail. Yirmiyahu will always be saved by Hashem, but again, that doesn't mean that he won't be tortured. Tzidkio only wanted to kill Yirmiyahu in the most passive way. Once it's brought to his attention in such a clear-cut fashion, he can no longer ignore his own actions. To his credit, he is willing to take rebuke from a servant, and he is willing to do the right thing once it's presented to him in such a black and white fashion. Now, all of these good qualities just highlight to us what a loss of potential Tzidkio is. If he had the inner strength, he could have been Hashem Tzidkenu that Yirmiyahu describes as the Savior, as the person who now is going to be the Mashiach, but could have been Tzidkio. Tzidkio is the person who wanted the people to free their slaves, but who didn't stand up to them in chapter 34 when they took those slaves back. Now, at the end, in the days before the Chorban, Tzidkio is just a weak king who follows the advice of whomever he spoke to last. By the time Evan Melech takes Yirmiyahu out of the pit, Yirmiyahu is so weak he can't even hold onto a rope. The Cushi servant has to lower a sling for him to climb onto so he can pull himself out of the pit. Of course, then Yirmiyahu is returned not to his house, but to the Chatzar Matara. And there, something fascinating happens. Tzidkio sends a message to Yirmiyahu. And of course, you know, we've been down this road before. And he takes Yirmiyahu to the third floor of the Beit HaMikdash, the place where nobody's going to find him. You can imagine them just meeting behind a secret door. And he says to Yirmiyahu, Shoel ani otcha davar, I have a question for you. Al tichachev mimeni davar, don't hide anything from me, Yirmiyahu, don't hold anything back. Now we know what he's going to say. Look, Yirmiyahu, I saved your life again. Any new prophecies for me? Yirmiyahu knows this also. So Yirmiyahu responds to him, Ki agid lecha. I'm going to tell you a prophecy. And you know, Tzidkio, that I'm going to tell you the same prophecy that I've been telling you this whole time. Hamei temiteni, you're going to kill me. You just did. V'chi atzcha, and when I advise you, look to Shmaila, you're going to ignore me anyway, Tzidkio. I have enough of this game, this dance with you, that you talk to me, you try to make yourself feel better, you try to influence me to change my prophecy. Let's just get rid of the facade, Tzidkio. Tzidkio says no, because he really has this almost irrational need for Yirmiyahu's approval and for Hashem's approval. And yet he won't listen because he doesn't want to stop the war. He just wants Hashem to approve of the war that obviously he's not going to. So Tzidkio swears to Yirmiyahu in verse 16 in their secret room. He says, I swear to you, Yirmiyahu, I won't kill you. And he adds, V'imet necha b'yana anashim ha'ela asher mevakshim et nafshach. He has to close all the loopholes. I also won't give you over into the hands of somebody else who wants to kill you. So Yirmiyahu says in 17, okay, Tzidkio, this is what Hashem wants to say to you. Im yatzo teitzei el sarei melech bavel. If you give yourself over, forget the officers, Tzidkio, we're talking one-on-one, me and you. You give yourself over to the king of Bavel. This is what's going to happen. V'chaitana shecha, you'll live. V'ha'ir hazo, lo tisraf va'esh. And this city will not be burned. You have one last chance to save yourself, to save the people, to save the city, and save the Beit HaMikdash. But know very well, Tzidkio, if you don't take this deal, says Yirmiyahu in verse 18, im lo teitzel sarei melech bavel, what I said is going to happen, it will. You'll be captured. the city will be burned, and the entire people will be given over to the Babylonians. It's not just you, Tzidkiyahu, it's everybody. And now Tzidkiyahu says perhaps the truest thing that he's ever said in verse 19. Bayom, because he speaks from his own vulnerability. Bayom ramel Tzidkiyahu Yirmiyo. Ani do'eg et ha'yudim asher naflu al ha'kazdim. Pen yitnu oti biyadam v'talalu bi. I'm scared of the Jews who already gave themselves over, who already turned themselves over to the Babylonians. They hate me. Maybe for sport, the Babylonians will let them torture me. Almost like what happened to the Nazis after the Allies and the Soviets freed the concentration camps. Some of them gave the Nazis over to the Jewish prisoners and said, go ahead, do what you wish to them. Says Tzidkiyahu, I'm scared. I'm scared of being tortured. And we hear this in Tzidkiyahu's voice and we know he's telling the truth. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, lo yitnu. Yirmiyahu says, I promise you in verse 20, it won't happen. Listen to what I tell you. It's the only way to save yourself. You won't be tortured, Tzidkiyahu. You'll live. But, says Yirmiyahu, listen to what will happen if you don't. Pasuk Kaf Bet, verse 22. V'hine kol nashim asher nisharu bebeit melch yuda mutzaot el sarei melch bavel. I'm telling you now, Tzidkiyahu, the women of your house are going to be raped. That's what the invading army does when they conquer a city. They rape the king's wives. It's a show of power. V'hine omrot, they are going to say, hisitucha. They tricked you, all of your officers, all of your false prophets. V'yachlulach anshei shlomecha, those people who were telling you were on your side, they enabled you. They weren't. Hitzba'u babot raglecha, nasogu achor, they made your feet stuck in the mud. Yirmiyahu obviously here is referencing his own pit, where he was just before stuck in his own mud. Vet kol nashecha, vet banecha, motzaim el kazdim, they're going to be captured. They are going to be tortured. Va'ata lo timalei miyadam, and don't think you're going to get off easy. Don't think that you are going to escape. Ki b'yad melch bavel titafes, you're going to be captured. That's a ir hazot tisarif ba'esh, and the city will be burned. And you could just imagine what a choice this is for a weak king like Tzidkiyahu to do something strong. And what strong is to give himself up. The show of weakness is actually strength. Tzidkiyahu turns to Yirmiyahu in verse 24 and he says, Ish al yedah b'dvarim ha'ela v'lo tamut. He fails, Tzidkiyahu. He says, don't tell anybody what we spoke about. And he says, I know the officers are going to ask you. And he makes Yirmiyahu promise not to tell what they said. And he says, if you don't promise, I'll give you over to Beit Yehonatan HaSofer. And that's actually exactly what happens. They ask him and Yirmiyahu won't tell. Why is Tzidkiyahu so worried of people finding out? Because he knows what Yirmiyahu is saying is true. He knows that pretty soon Yirmiyahu is going to be vindicated. But he can't let anybody know that he knew it before, because then they'll know how weak he actually was. The parak ends with verse 28, Vayashev Yirmiyahu b'chatzar matara ad yom asher nilkada Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu stays there until the day that Yerushalayim is captured, and you just see him sitting in the prison, and he can't do anything about it. And then there's a samach, which means there's a stop. And the words say, Vahaya ka'asher nilkada Yerushalayim. And it was when Jerusalem fell. And that's the end of the parak. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.